International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT next, the International Radio Report.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, January the 14th, 2024. My name's Sheldon. Jill is here with me. We are here every week on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal with our program, 30 Minutes of News and Information from the World of Radio. We thank you for tuning in. Several ways you can follow us or contact us. If you'd like to email us, radioreport@yahoo.com is our email address. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, you can join the group and be one of 952 other members who are in the group. We have one new person this week. We welcome Erica, who is in New Jersey. Our YouTube channel is a place where you can go and listen to our show at your convenience. The new latest shows are there and past shows that you might want to go back and take a listen to. You can subscribe as well and look for us on YouTube at IRR. Our X account is at IRRCKUT, and you can follow us there as well. We will start off today's show with a story of local Montreal interest, a passing of a well-known personality on the radio in Quebec.
Yes, a well-known psychiatrist that we often called Duck Mayu has passed away at age 74. This guy was on the radio for quite a few years, from 1995 until 2007, when CKAC changed format. And so he was kind of a controversial figure. Many times, some of the things that he said on the radio didn't go very well with the general population. Any Francophone radio listener in Quebec, everybody knows Duck Mayu.
Okay, we thank Normand Martel, one of our regular listeners, for passing that story along. Normand keeps an ear out to developments in the French radio scene here in the province of Quebec, so we thank him for passing that story along for us. We have a couple stories linked together here of some business news going on in radio in the United States. The first one comes from Radio Inc. on January the 5th. CBS News Radio and Odyssey to extend relationship. CBS News Radio and Odyssey have reached a new multi-year affiliation agreement for 27 stations. Key stations in the deal include New York's WCBS, Los Angeles's KNX-AM, and San Francisco's KCBS-AM. Under the agreement, CBS News Radio will supply top-of-the-hour newscasts, CBS World News Roundup, breaking news coverage, special events coverage, and correspondence interviews. Additionally, Odyssey stations will have the option to simulcast prominent CBS News broadcasts, such as the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, 60 Minutes, and Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan. Paramount Global Executive Vice President of Podcasting and Audio, Steve Raises, said the new agreement ensures listeners in the top markets continue to get CBS News Radio's award-winning national and global news for years to come. Ironically, just a couple days after that announcement, also via Radio Inc. on January the 7th, came the story, after brutal 2023, Odyssey files for bankruptcy. As expected, Odyssey has filed for bankruptcy after a significant restructuring agreement with its debt holders. The company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas on Sunday morning. The proposed plan of reorganization, which incorporates the RSA's terms, is subject to court approval. The restructuring plan has the support of a supermajority of debt holders who have committed to voting in favor of the plan. The company has secured $57 million in debtor-in-possession financing to support ongoing operations during the Chapter 11 process. This includes a new term loan and an increase in the accounts receivable financing facility. Odyssey Common Stock will continue to trade over the counter under the symbol AUDA during Chapter 11 process, but these shares are expected to be canceled without distribution as part of the restructuring. Odyssey has also filed customary first-day motions to ensure business operations continue as usual during the restructuring process. This includes a commitment to its advertisers, vendors, partners, and employees, with the current leadership team remaining in place. In a statement, Odyssey President and CEO David Field discusses Odyssey's changes of acquiring CBS Radio, podcast production companies, audio networks, and a digital audio and advertising shift, adding, "While our transformation has enhanced our competitive position, the perfect storm of sustained macroeconomic challenges over the past 4 years facing the traditional advertising market has led to a sharp reduction of several billion dollars in cumulative radio ad spending. These market factors have severely impacted our financial condition and necessitated our balance sheet restructuring. With our scaled leadership position, our uniquely differentiated premium audio content, and a robust capital structure, we believe Odyssey will emerge well-positioned to continue its innovation and growth in the dynamic audio business. It is the third of the top three U.S. commercial radio companies to go through a Chapter 11 process in the past 7 years." Interesting timing of going ahead and announcing this acquisition of the relationship between Odyssey and CBS Radio News, and then turning around and a couple of days later filing for bankruptcy protection. I've never quite really understood what bankruptcy protection means. You either should be bankrupt or you shouldn't, is what I see in my mind. But obviously, it doesn't work that way. It, you know, you continue to run your business, yet you're somehow protected from your creditors by this process. So they continue to do what they're doing. They're trying to add new things, yet they're saying that business is not good and we have to file for this bankruptcy protection. It doesn't quite make a whole lot of sense to me.
It's the same here. I mean, you know, bankruptcy protection, but then again, you still have money to continue running and doing things around is a weird way of working. But I guess, you know, it's the way businesses usually restructure. And after that, often, you know, if things can help, if things can go better, often they have a little more possibilities ahead of them. Radio market is a tough one, and they own a lot of radio stations. So I would guess that they're going to have to check out the ad market on everything. We see it here with the media in Quebec and Canada. We see it in the United States with the radio stations. We even see it online platforms. It's a tough market. It's like too many people are now sharing whatever ad money is available out there. So everybody gets less. And that's a huge problem, especially for commercial radio stations that need that ad money to continue operating.
Yeah, they talk about WCBS in New York, which for years and years and years is one of the most financially stable operations in radio in North America. One of the biggest revenue generators, a station like WCBS. Yet that's part of this whole package. So it's a sign that radio is a difficult business. It's expensive to operate these big networks. So this is their way of trying to streamline, I guess. And then, as you said, diversify a little bit, get into different things where they can hopefully have a more secure financial position.
In our next news item, we have the widely popular police scanner goes silent for many. This is by Ernesto Londoño from the New York Times. The report crackled across the Indianapolis police radio on a recent morning. Two aggressive pit bulls, no leashes in sight, were roaming, a caller complained. Then came an alert about a motorist, possibly armed, en route to Indianapolis, reportedly with homicidal thoughts. Later, the police were dispatched to look into the reports of overdoses, suicidal people, and domestic violence. Through it all, hundreds of Indianapolis residents listened. Once accessible to a relatively small number of emergency radio enthusiasts who invested in hardware and developed technical expertise, emergency dispatch channels have garnered huge audiences in recent years as websites and apps made tuning in as easy as turning on the television. "I just love to listen because I want to know what's going on," said Bobby Sue Hester, a Indianapolis resident who has listened to the police radio at night for 20 years. "I guess I'm a nosy body." Mrs. Hester may soon lose access to her evening pastime because Indianapolis, where the police channel is amongst the most listened to in the country, is one of several cities considering curtailing access to the real-time communication between dispatchers and emergency medical workers by encrypting those conversations. Encryption encodes a radio signal in a way that makes it accessible only to authorized users. Denver, San Francisco, San Diego County, Baltimore, Chicago, New York, and Sioux Falls are among the jurisdictions that have already encrypted radio signals to some degree. Minneapolis, whose police department has faced a lot of pressure to be more transparent and accountable, intends to adopt encryption next year. Law enforcement officials say they long saw value in allowing a small number of civilians, journalists covering breaking news among them, to hear their communications. But as the numbers of listeners soared in a nation where true crime shows and reality television are wildly popular, the risks of allowing unfettered access, at times including names, addresses, and phone numbers, concerned public safety officials. Press freedom groups and other organizations that advocate for government transparency have expressed alarm at the trend towards encryption. Greg Noheim, director of the Security and Surveillance Project at the Center for Democracy and Technology, said police departments should find ways to mitigate privacy concerns without entirely cutting off access to these radio channels. "There is a societal benefit to getting an immediate information about emergency situations, and I think we should hesitate to adopt measures that would reduce that. If there's an active shooting in the neighborhood near mine, I want to know." Americans have long listened to emergency communication channels. A few decades ago, tuning in required buying a radio, outfitting it with a crystal, and learning to set it to the desired frequency. That all changed in 2012 after the launch of Broadcastify, a company that gathered thousands of emergency and aviation radio feeds and made them accessible to a constellation of websites and apps. Broadcastify and the platforms that rely on its feeds have free versions supported by ads and premium ones that are ad-free and provide access to archives. Broadcastify's founder, Lindsay Blanton, said his interest in police radios began in the 1980s after watching his grandfather spend hours glued to a radio in her home, Charlottesville, Virginia, riveted by police and firefighter calls. "It's very much in the American culture that small-town folks have scanners to keep an eye on what's going on in their community. Older women are among the most devoted Broadcastify listeners. At any given time, there are tens of thousands of people listening to emergency radio chatter on Broadcastify's website and the commercial apps that rely on its feeds. During crises like the Boston Marathon bombing in 2013 and a mass shooting during a concert in Las Vegas in 2017, the audience grows exponentially," Mr. Blanton said. Some cities and counties that have curtailed access to scanner traffic have adopted measures to keep the public informed. Mike Hubbs, the director of the 911 Center in Hamilton County in central Indiana, which adopted encryption in the summer, said dispatchers in the state have come to regard the large audience listening in on their work as an added stressor in high-wire occupation. "Within the law enforcement dispatching community, there's tremendous support for encryption," said Mr. Hubbs, who previously ran Indianapolis 911 Center from 2014 until last year. "At any given time, More than 800 people are listening to the Indianapolis Police Channel on Broadcastify and the Scanner Radio app. So definitely it's part controversy, part wanting to know what happens. You know, they did mention one thing that actually happened a lot here in the past. It's less of a problem. We still have here our Sûreté du Québec, or SQ police, the provincial police of Quebec, that still can be heard in you know, analog scanners, but they do have a encryption method. And one of the biggest problems that I had actually identified long ago is, yeah, you get all the personal details like address. And I think the problem of law enforcement wanting to be encrypted goes a lot with too much personal data is being given out, and add probably a lot of snoopers that instead of staying in their homes to listen, decide that they'll also go into wherever there's a fire or wherever there's some emergency happening, and that doesn't help out.
Yeah, there's talk about doing this in so many different for so many different reasons, but you know, we've talked to some people and heard examples of criminal rings, or you know, crime rings, actually. When they get busted, they find a, you know, a bunker where these people are hiding out or whatever, and they find scanners that in their possession. Everything programmed into the memory channels was the various police channels and whatever. So it's almost like there's a cat and mouse game going on. You know, the criminals are listening to the police. The police are communicating as they're moving in on a break-in. By the time they get there, the people are gone. You know, so it's being used for criminal purposes as well. The communications being monitored. There's cases of tow truck drivers, for example, tuning into police frequencies, showing up at an accident before the police even get there sometimes, because, you know, they want to be the guy there to tow the car away. So there's a commercial element to it. There's a privacy element to it. There's a lot of different reasons that, you know, security, where they do want things encrypted. But like you say, sometimes in your neighborhood, you just like to know what's going on around you. You know, pros and cons, obviously. But Broadcastify continues out there. We've talked about that website and that service many times on our program. And, you know, when something big is happening in a major city somewhere, a lot of people tune in and listen into the communications.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, the sun has a lot of sunspots, and there's a couple of them that are, you know, close to having solar flares, but nothing's been happening really this week. There's sunspot AR3541 that has a magnetic field that's just perfect for flares. But what we had in a week is high solar activity, some great propagation, not a lot of disturbances because everything was quiet on the sun. Sunspot number 151, solar flux 186, possibly quiet conditions, even though anything can happen in the high solar activity times. So turn on a radio and listen is the best way that you'll know what happens.
This is Glenn Hauser. You're listening to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio news and information every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
You came up with an interesting story for this week. People like mysteries and people like, you know, secret messages and all that sort of thing. Well, there's going to be something available to anybody who has a shortwave radio coming up.
The crypto transmission that's coming up from KPH, from the Maritime Radio Historical Society. The Maritime Radio Historical Society, in cooperation with our good friends at the Cypher History Museum, present a unique over-the-air cryptographic challenge. On January 20th, 2024, KPH will transmit a coded message consisting of 5-digit groups. The message will be encrypted using typical Cold War numbers station cryptographic procedures. All KPH listeners are invited to try their hand at receiving and decrypting the message. Certificates will be awarded to those who are successful to decode the message. Additionally, a special certificate will be awarded to the first person to decode it. So a little bit background here, the number stations, it says that they're relics from the Cold War, or a way for various intelligence services to communicate with agents in the field. The truth, well, you're not actually cleared for what the truth is. During the Cold War era, number stations were frequently heard on a shortwave bands by radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. Using voice or Morse code, these stations would broadcast encrypted messages in the form of five-letter groups or numbers. Although the Cold War has ended, or has it, there are still active number stations and new ones keep appearing, broadcasting covert messages from secret and officially non-existing radio installations. Who is listening to them? That remains a mystery. The encryption methods used by number stations are widely believed to be a one-time pad procedure. The simple addition or subtraction of a set of random numbers from that one-time pad to encode or decode the clear text. Once used, the pad key was never reused and destroyed after use. In complete anonymity, all the recipient needs are the one-time pads, a shortwave radio, and to be on the right frequency at the right time. The Historical Society is here to help. At great cost, we have managed to intercept a copy of a one-time pad that was used to encode the message. Please find the link below, and we'll actually post it, for the procedure and further information. So the numbers broadcast, the date, time, and formats will commence at 21 hours Universal Time, that's 1 p.m. Pacific, on the 20th of January 2024, on all KPH, CW, and RTTY frequencies. The CW, or Morse code frequencies, are 425, 6477.5, 8642, 12808.5, 17016.8, and 22477.5. Upon completion of the CW transmission, the broadcast will be repeated using radio teletype at 170 shift 45 baud on the following frequencies of 6324.5, 8427, 12585.5. Certificates will be given. Certificates of cryptographic excellence will be awarded upon proof of successful decode of the numbers message. A special certificate will be awarded to the first agent to manually decode the message using pen, paper, without the use of a computer program. So there's rules for the certificate. Number one is 72-hour time limit. Numbers messages are time sensitive. Your decode message must be received at the email address within 72 hours. Two, group efforts. While the Historical Society encourages group efforts, only one certificate will be awarded per group. The number three is the numbers message is top secret. Please do not share the encoded numbers message or decrypted message before the 72-hour time limit has expired. Only apply for a certificate if you or your team have actually received a message over the air or on a web-based SDR and decrypted the message yourself. So you can apply for the certificate, and the email is crypto@radiomarine.org with the subject line decoded numbers message. So you need to include the decoded message in plain text and properly reformatted into words, the frequency and location where the number message was intercepted, signal reports are encouraged, the exact name you wish to have on your certificate. Certificates of cryptographic excellence will be awarded to all agents who demonstrate a successful decode of the number message. These certificates will be emailed in digital form suitable for printing at home. A special hand-signed certificate embossed with the Historical Society seal will be awarded for first to decode. This award will be based on the timestamp of the first email demonstrating a successful decode. So the instructions for the decode for helpful instructions on decoding numbers, messages, and related one-time pad procedures, you will have to visit the Mission Critical Information page. So you can have more information, or if you have questions for the KPH numbers broadcast, you can send an email to crypto@radiomarine.org. So it's nice to see that they are actually doing this special event. This is going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, decoding that message, getting all the info together, and receiving the Morse code, translating that into the words of the actual message. Kind of a cool little experiment here from Marine broadcast of KPH.
That is really something quite unique. And as I say, and if you're a regular shortwave listener, no doubt you've stumbled and continue to stumble across number stations. That one-time pad is not going to help you to decode some of those other messages you hear. It's going to be for this purpose only. But it's kind of like, you're going to be an actual spy out there getting these coded messages and trying to decode it. Should be a lot of fun. So that's coming up on January the 20th. We're going to post all this information that you'll need to go and look up all of the data and instructions and equipment that you're going to need to participate in this. And who knows, maybe one of our listeners will be the first one to decode the message. Yeah. We have one short piece of information come into us from Tony Pavic, who is a host of Pop Shop Radio, an independent show that is broadcast on shortwave. He is out in Hope, British Columbia. Channel 292. It will be off the air until the beginning of February. Channel 292 is an independent private shortwave broadcaster based in Germany. The station actually sells airtime to various broadcasters and programmers around the world using shortwave frequencies of 3955, 6070, and 9670 kilohertz. Tony reports the following. It looks like Channel 292 is going to be off the air until the beginning of February. I received this email from Rainer at the station in Germany, in Europe. Quote, he says, unfortunately, there are problems with the attachment of the antennas. This repair work was just in progress when I had the accident. Rainer actually fell and broke his leg while trying to repair these antennas. In my current condition, it is impossible for me to fix the problems. So, unfortunately, we have to take a complete break from broadcasting until I can move my broken leg again. That will probably be at the beginning of February. I'm sorry that I can't bring you better news. So if you're a listener to Channel 292, either directly on your shortwave radio or maybe you tune in on one of the overseas SDRs, you'll have to wait to be able to hear programming. Hopefully that will be back on the air by the beginning of February.
And we have upcoming ham radio contests.
There are some interesting ones coming up next weekend that you might want to participate in. The first one is organized by the Pro Digi Contest Club of Romania. It's the Pro Digi Contest, 1200 Zulu January 20th to 1159 Zulu January the 21st. The bands are 80 through 10 meters, and it is a PSK63 mode contest.
There's the Hungarian DX contest, 1200 Zulu January 20th to 1159 Zulu January 21st, organized by the Hungarian Radio Amateur Society, bands 160 through 10 meters, CW and SSB.
Here's a big event going on, the North American QSO party, the single sideband portion, January 20th, 1800 Zulu to January 21st, 0559 Zulu. It's organized by the National Contest Journal. The bands are 160 through 10 meters, and it is single sideband. So there will be busy bands for that particular event for sure.
And one unique one that we talked about, maybe you have a scanner radio lying around. You could try it with that. The ARRL January VHF contest, 1900 Zulu January 20th, 0359 Zulu January 22nd, organized by the American Radio Relay League. The bands, it's all amateur radio bands from 6 meters and up. And the modes, all legal modes are permitted. CW, SSB, MSK144, FT8, FM, PSK31, FSK441, and JT65.
Yep, you can do that with a handheld handy talkie if you're an amateur operator. You can listen in on your scanners, as Jill said, and maybe even try some of those higher frequency bands that are available for this particular event. So lots of things to keep you occupied on the radio coming up next weekend. And that is going to do it for us today. We thank you for tuning into our show. We're here every week at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 15:30 UTC. And you can check us out on our YouTube channel as well. Look for us at International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Je m'en fous, je m'en vais dans le sud au soleil, me baigner dans la mer, et je penserai à vous en plantant mes orteils dans le sable doux. Je vous laisse, mon pays ce n'est pas un pays, c'est l'hiver chanté par les charrues. Je vous laisse, mon scraper, la pelle de bois pour vous rendre à la rue. Je vous laisse, la petite glace dans l'escalier tournant qui vous fera tomber sur. Je vous laisse ma paix, je vous donne ma paix, je me pousse en paix avec les canards. Demain l'hiver, je m'en fous, je m'en vais dans le sud au soleil, me baigner dans la mer, et je penserai à vous en priant le soleil dans l'eau à genoux. Je vous laisse. Les enfants qui s'assomment en speechant des balles de neige en glace en pleine face, je vous laisse. Les enfants qui ont la langue collée sur les tracks et qui pleurent parce que le train s'en vient, je vous laisse. Les enfants mangés par la souffleuse à 4 heures dans un fort trop sucré. Je vous laisse ma paix, je vous donne ma paix, je me pousse en paix avec les canards. Demain l'hiver, je m'en fous, je m'en vais dans le sud au soleil, me baigner dans la mer, et je penserai à vous assis dans la soupe bleue juste.